Welcome to the HireGenics Hiring Academy series. Our expert, Valerie Quinato, will share insights and tips to help you land your dream job. So turn the volume up, grab a pen and paper, because class has started.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whichever you may be listening to this podcast, and welcome to another episode of the Innova Solutions podcast. My name is Doug, and I will be your host today, decoding delays within the hiring process. I am honored today to have Valerie Quinato, the Senior Vice President of Client Engagement at HireGenics, with me. Valerie, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. This is a very exciting conversation because, as you know, all of us have gone through some sort of hiring process, and when you are on the outside, sometimes it gets a little distressing if you haven't heard back or you're wondering where things are. So I'm really excited to help unpack and demystify some of the things and give people maybe a peek behind the curtain when it comes to the hiring process. So let's just jump right in. When you look at a hiring process in general, what are some of the common reasons for something to slow down or things to be delayed?
It's a great question, especially now in the marketplace. There could be a number of reasons why companies would have delays in their hiring. It could be as simple as that there are, in some cases, hundreds, if not thousands of people that have applied for positions. And that is something that you can find out. Typically, if you are on LinkedIn and you find a job or a position there, it will show you from the LinkedIn perspective how many people have applied just on their platform. And that's also something that you might be able to find out from a recruiter or someone else that you're working with through the process. It is also an election year. Those types of inputs can make companies stop quickly to kind of refresh their approach. And always, you know, economics play into the picture as well. So there could be a number of different reasons, none of which have to do with you.
Right.
So a good rule of thumb is to not take anything personally. And for the most part, it's because you need the resources of your own personal confidence and positivity to be able to make it through a hiring process. So it just isn't productive to worry when you honestly can't know yourself what the delay is.
Very true. And how long should one wait to follow up on the status of an application? And a caveat to that, how should they reach out to that recruiter?
So a couple of things, and one thing that I always share with people is, while you may have to wait in line for a particular opening or opportunity, you should never stop searching for other opportunities. So one of the things that makes people a little panicky is having only one or two opportunities that they are truly dependent on to win. You will be in a better space mentally, and your energy is going to be a little bit more positive if you have a lot of opportunities out there that you're working at once. So if one falls through, you have more to depend on. And if you look at it as a process that is going to involve lots of pursuits, then you can feel a little bit better about having to wait somewhere else. It's watching that pot boil that can make you really stressed, and that can show when you ultimately are reaching out to people, because you want to reach out to people as often as it makes sense, depending on where you are in the hiring cycle. So if they don't know you and they've never spoken to you live, continuing to ping them on a daily basis is going to feel like a bit much because you don't have a relationship with them. If you have established a follow-up, then that's when you want to follow up, because you want to show that you heard them, you listened, and you are doing as you agreed to do. In between those times, it's really dependent on the value and the contribution that you're making in the communication. So there are a number of ways that you can reach out in which you're not actually even asking for an update. You're just placing yourself positively in front of that recruiter or in front of that hiring manager. And again, you'll know when it's too much. I would say anything that's happening daily is too much, unless you are in an actual negotiation cycle for the position. Other than that, I always think it's reasonable to check in with people at either the beginning of the week or the end of the week and letting them know that. I like to check in on Mondays or Fridays so that I have just an update from you. But I'd also like to share with you this, right? And typically, that additional thing that you share could be, you know, I just saw your CEO on Squawk Box. I thought he did an amazing job. And I was very interested in a specific project that he spoke about, something like that.
I love that. I think that's really good feedback, is that you are finding ways to creatively put yourself in front of the recruiter without actually asking them, hey, what is the status on this application, or when are we going to move forward? That's really good feedback there. So to segue into the next question, what would you recommend to be the most appropriate way to inquire about your status without seeming too pushy?
From that respect, you want to look again at the lay of the land for the position that you have applied for. And the first thing I always share with people is, if you've applied for a position that has a lot of applicants, if you can see that there are hundreds of applicants, in some cases there's thousands, and right now, unfortunately, there is pent-up demand in the hiring marketplace. And so because of that, people are jumping on opportunities, and you are finding talent pipelines that have hundreds and perhaps thousands of people that are applying. When you're in that kind of a situation, that's going to tell you that when you reach out to a recruiter, there could be hundreds of other people doing that. And so it's very hard for that recruiter to give you the one-on-one that you're looking for. So it's not that you will appear pushy, but you have to recognize that you're one of many, many people that could be reaching out. And in that situation, what's going to be best for you is to find someone that can champion you inside that organization. So I would spend less time trying to get that recruiter to respond to me and more time trying to find a more direct channel in the organization in order to get my resume at the top of the pile for that recruiter.
Also, again, very good feedback there. I'm curious, are there any proactive steps that an applicant could take to keep them top of mind with either the hiring managing team, the hiring manager, or the recruiter during this delay?
If there is a very large talent pipeline, the proactive work that you can do is finding contacts within the organization who either know you, know of your work, or know a contact of yours and can champion you on the inside to move you up in the process. If there isn't, then you have to recognize that they're going to be selecting you based on some process that will be a weeding process because they have so many candidates to get through. And I would then use my time to look at other talent channels where you have less competition. One of the places that I wanted to share with people today is a website called otta.com, and that's spelled OTTA.com. It is a website for mid-market and smaller companies that have big dreams and big ambitions. I would definitely try to take a look at mid-market, smaller companies where you will have less competition and will be able to make just as strong, and some would argue a stronger contribution without the same levels of competition. If your dream is to be at a particular company and you have a lot of competition in that role, you're going to need to find people internally and work your way to the top of that recruiter's pile.
Excellent. And when it does come to competition, like we, especially internally here, we know what the job market looks like. And as you mentioned before, there are some roles that are listed on LinkedIn that will literally have thousands of applicants. So when you do see something that has either a high level of competition or even something that would show, let's say, 50 or less applicants for a role, how does one demonstrate continued interest in the position and also reinforcing how they are a good fit for this role?
That's a great question, because you can always continue to show your commitment and interest in a position by reaching out and sharing valuable information that doesn't ask for the job. Everybody needs to work, and the recruiters understand that. But when they receive updated information from people, which they also expect to receive, they do expect to receive information from you about the status of your employment. Positive comments and insights regarding the company itself are always valued because it shows that you're tracking them. It shows that you see where you could fit into the organization. So if you are a person that has strong biotherapeutics project management, and you know that a particular company is going to have a drug approved by the FDA in the third quarter, you can absolutely send regular emails tracking that progress and showing how you connect to that particular opportunity within the organization. So you want to try to envision yourself in the role and how you would be successful, the contributions you would make in that role, and send regular emails that share that information as well. Again, always building relationships internally to help that champion for the opportunity as well.
Again, solid feedback there. And for my next question, I am also curious, if the process is taking significantly longer than anticipated, one, what is considered significantly longer, or from an outside perspective, how could one anticipate what an appropriate time is, right, for a process to be? And then a second part to that question is it appropriate to express concerns or inquire about the potential timeline for a decision if it has been, you know, a really long time?
Those are great questions. I would say that as you are looking for, as you are starting the employment cycle, you know what you need to do. If you are working currently, you have obviously a little bit more runway than folks who might not be working, might not be employed at the time that they're looking. But note on a piece of paper, you can draw out what the timelines are going to be for specific types of roles. If you have a role that has a great deal of responsibility and you want to work in a Fortune 1000 organization, that timeline may be pretty long. Unless you know the hiring manager and you know that they're going to look for somebody fairly quickly to fill it, and you've already spoken to them once, you know, you can manage the timeframes based on the number of people that you're competing against and the number and ability that you have to get in front of the hiring manager in real time throughout the process. You may need to find backup opportunities for yourself as you go through the process, because you never know what could happen in an employment cycle. Things can change for the company and they may love you and their intention was to bring you on, but something changed and now the opportunity is gone. So what you want to always have are backup opportunities. And in those mid and small market talent markets, it may not take as long. So craft a timeline that gives you my dream job and how long I think it will take and why I think it will take that long, my backup jobs, why I think that they might not take as long, who are my connections at each one of those organizations, and work those timelines so that you can make it through the process. Whenever you have FaceTime or real time, whether that's on the phone or texting back and forth with a recruiter or a hiring manager, that's the time to ask for feedback and on what the next steps would be and on what a reasonable timeline is to them. They will not have any problems with you asking those questions. They expect you to ask those questions because they are the only ones that have the answer. So at the end of an interview is a perfect time to say, I love everything I'm hearing. I'm wondering about the timeline. Can you share a little bit about what the process is like for you and what I can expect for next steps? Absolutely no problem asking that. And it's when you're in a live situation that you want to do it.
Valerie, thank you so much for joining us today. We have reached the end of our conversation and you are such a wealth of knowledge. Before we sign off, do you have any last final thoughts or takeaways that you would like to mention?
I would say that finding a job is a journey. And as on any journey, there are steps to take and there is a destination. It's a very challenging journey because it's about you, right? And it does involve rejection at times. It does involve loss of opportunity that you may have been truly looking forward to. So be kind to yourself through the journey. And put the effort into having backups and other options while you're going on the journey so that the opportunity for you to land a position that you need is much greater when you have multiple opportunities and you've been working your connections throughout that process. In addition to looking at mid-market and smaller companies, I also strongly urge you to take a look at contracting. Contracting is a great interim way to not only get yourself payroll coming in, but also in many of the Fortune 1000 companies, in fact, in most Fortune 1000 companies, they supplement their full-time hiring with a percentage of contract labor that have unique skills. that is a great way for you to get into those organizations, meet the people that you want to meet, and have an edge when they are beginning their full-time hiring. I would suggest heading out to innovasolutions.com, and you can take a look at the contracting roles that are available and get a feel for how these programs work. You can apply online for a contracting position with many companies. If you go out to their career page and you look for a link to contracting roles, you can apply online. You can do that as well on LinkedIn. They'll often designate contracting roles for companies as well as full-time roles. So I encourage you to take a look at contracting as a way into those larger companies so you can build a relationship and also decide for yourself if the culture is somewhere that you really want to work.
I cannot think of a better way to wrap up this episode. Valerie, again, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you all for listening. And I hope you catch us on the next episode of the Innova Solutions podcast. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for listening. Remember, the key to success is preparation. So stay tuned for our next episode of Hiring Academy series. For more information, visit www.hirogenics.com/podcasts.